Page 934, this is a reading from the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 6, beginning at the first verse. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a case against his people. He is holding a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, plotted and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God.
Thank you, Colin, very much indeed for that reading. Let's put verse 8 on the screen again, and I'm going to read it to you. Micah 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Let's pray for God's help as we look at this passage together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful verse, and we thank you for this opportunity to refocus our sights on you and how you would like us to live in this new year in 2020. Please speak to us afresh about the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace and his love for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, 2020, it's a new year. I guess there's lots of things that we'll be looking forward to. The Tokyo Olympics coming up in the summer. Glastonbury turns 50 years old. And maybe for some, Coronation Street's 60th anniversary. I wonder what your hopes are for this new year. Maybe you're hoping for a new start in some way. Maybe some of you are hoping for new friends at school, or perhaps some of the adults are hoping for a special friendship this year. Maybe some of us have got New Year's resolutions. Hands up if you've made a New Year's resolution this year, if you're willing to. I won't ask you what it is. There's a few hands. That's great. Has anyone broken their New Year's resolutions already? Not quite. Yes, one. Well done. Good to be honest. Maybe for some of us, we're hoping to see a solution to a problem this year. Maybe a bad back or a difficult job. Maybe some of us want to start a new diet or a new fitness regime. But here's a question for us. What does God want of us in 2020? What does the Lord want of us? That's far more important than what we want of ourselves. We often make our own standards and then break them. But what does God require? Well, this verse tells us what God wants of each of us in 2020. Let me read it to you again. Micah, speaking 700 years before Jesus, said, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Three things: to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." It's a wonderful summary of the law, of God's requirements for us to love him and to love one another. Now, the reason I chose this verse was because I think it works really well for the beginning of a new year. But a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Micah. We discovered that his name means "who is like the Lord." He actually brings his name into the story as he goes along. He lived about 740 to 680 years before Jesus. And yet he spoke about judgment and hope. Three cycles in the book where there's bad news and good news. And we saw that there's bad news in each section, but there's also good news focusing on a shepherd. And we saw that there's a wonderful verse, this is where we were a couple of weeks before Christmas, which predicted that the Messiah would come from Bethlehem. So it's a wonderful verse that tells us that the Messiah was going to be born in one specific place in Bethlehem, and exactly that happened when Jesus was born. So that's where we were. We're jumping forward from some of the good news part to actually a slightly bad news part towards the end of the book, chapter 6, where there's a bit of a telling off. And actually, this section is a little bit of a telling off. There's some good news, don't panic, but there's a bit of a telling off as well. So what does God want from us, according to Micah, speaking hundreds of years ago and speaking to us today? Well, back by popular demand, we're going to play the Christchurch Huntingdon Battleships game. Hands up if you can remember this. Now, this is a lot of fun. Thank you, guys. Thank you, George, very much indeed. Thank you, David and Alice, for being such great helpers. George is going to work on that in a moment. That's brilliant. So we've got two words, and we can see from our passage today that what God doesn't want is religion, and what God does want is relationship. We played battleships. Relationship, not religion. Let's have a look at verses 6 and 7. Now let me let you into a secret. The people in Micah's day had turned their relationship with God into a religion. Now we speak of religion to mean the world religions, Islam, Buddhism, Christianity. I'm not speaking it quite in that way. I'm talking about how we can make our relationship with God into a bit of a drag. Look at verse 3. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Their relationship with God had become a bit of a boring thing and a bit of a hassle. And so they turned it into religion. Look what happens in verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord? This is what someone in Micah's day is saying. Maybe this is the right way to be relating to God. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? These were animals that were burnt up in the temple. And they were commanded by God as a sacrifice to speak of the relationship that he had mended with him. But they started getting things a bit out of proportion. They started exploding things bigger and bigger. Have a look at these verses. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? So this is, you take a little cow and you fatten it up, and then when it's 1 year old, you slaughter it and you give the whole thing to God. Well, that's a very expensive thing to do. But that they weren't satisfied with that. Look at the next verse in verse 7. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? Well, if one sheep costs £10, then 10 sheep or 10 rams is going to cost £10,000. Do you see what they're doing? They're offering things to God. They're trying to get it bigger and bigger. And the next thing, with 10,000 rivers of oil. That's loads of money spent on olive oil. Now, the temple sacrifice was normally just a little bit of olive oil poured out. But this is saying, let's have 10,000 River Thames. That much oil. They were really going a bit too far. And then the ultimate sacrifice in verse 7. Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? This is shocking. They were saying, maybe I'm going to make the ultimate sacrifice. I'm going to take it to a new level. I'm going to sacrifice one of my children. Hands up if you're the oldest in your family, amongst your brothers and sisters. Oh dear. Katie, I'm sorry. But don't worry. God commanded them not to do it. And Isaac was the closest it got when Abraham had to sacrifice Isaac. But God provided a ram at the last minute. And again in the Old Testament says, don't do this. Don't sacrifice your children. Sadly, it still happens today as people, because of their hobbies, because of their job, or whatever it is, they sacrifice their children. But do you see what Micah's saying? He's saying, no, it's not about religion. It's not about bearing a heavy weight that's going to be enough to make you kind of pleasing to God? Should we just add more extreme pain? And that's what God wants of us? Well, no, not at all. Christianity is not about heavy duty sacrifices. There is sacrifice, but that comes as a result of the sacrifice that Jesus has made for us. God doesn't want us to be, well, women. God isn't looking for us to be, for you to be a sort of superwoman. Men, God isn't looking for you to be some kind of Christian Superman, to be impossible and able to fly. God's not looking for the women to make the perfect house with the perfect children, hold down the perfect job at the same time, and maintain the perfect body. That may be what the world says, but that's not what Christianity is about. Supermen, God is not looking for a kind of spiritual equivalent of James Bond or Bear Grylls. He doesn't want you to pull out your checkbook and write the biggest check. He's got all the money in the world. He wants your heart, not your time as or your money in an extreme way to kind of pay him off. Kids, does God want all of your pocket money this year? Well, it's lovely to learn the joy of giving. But actually, why not learn the joy of the sweet shop or the toy shop as well and be kids for a while? God doesn't want religion. He wants relationship. There was a man called Martin Luther. We've mentioned him before because he's a really famous man who basically started an important return to the Bible in the 16th century, in the early 1500s. And if you go to Rome, you can find these steps. They're called the Scala Sancti, the Holy Steps. And someone actually brought them from Jerusalem to Rome in the 5th century because they were thought to be the steps that Jesus walked on. And so people thought, well, if I climb up these steps, I'll get closer to God. And by the time it got to Martin Luther's day, Martin Luther went up these steps in about 1500 and something, on his knees, saying the Our Father prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. He said that prayer on every step as he went up. And he was told that if you do these extreme religious things, then you'll get closer to God. He was even promised that his ancestors would be helped in the afterlife because of the extreme things that he was doing for God. But that's not what God requires. God isn't looking for extreme sport Christianity. He's actually done it all already for us. The extreme sacrifice has actually been made by Jesus Christ on the cross. He died for our sins. He climbed up. He reached down to bring us up to heaven. We don't need to climb up steps for him. We don't need to open our Bible every day, give our money to church in order to climb back up to God. And if we've done enough, then we'll be close to him. No, he's done it for us. And out of a response, we're to live a life of relationship. And that's what we're going to come on to now. But we're going to listen to a song which tells us about this relationship. Great. Well, Micah 6 verse 8 is a wonderful verse because it shows us what God requires of us. Not religion, heavy duty sacrifices to buy our way up to God, more and more extreme every year. Actually, he just wants us to love him and to love our neighbour. And that's what Jesus says in Mark's gospel, that you can sum up the law in terms of loving God and loving our neighbour. Let's have a look at this verse again. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you in 2020? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. What God wants from us is relationship, not religion. And those three things, I've put a heart there because it's basically behind all of them. Although the word love is mentioned there once, it's actually behind all of those things. Loving God and loving our neighbour. And if you think of a piece of rope, often a piece of rope is made of three intertwined smaller pieces of rope. And there's a picture of it behind me now. We're to love God upwards, but also we're to love our neighbour outwards. And the first two speak about loving our neighbour. Act justly. To act justly. And I summarise that as doing the right thing. Christianity, once you put your trust in Jesus, he turns your life around and he helps you to start loving your neighbor. And Christianity gets very practical. God is concerned for the people he's made and the people around us, our friends, our neighbors, our family. He's particularly concerned for the vulnerable, those who are perhaps downtrodden. Hands up if you've got a little brother or sister. Yeah? Okay. Now you'll know. I can see Lizzie and Rachel. Just who's the younger out of you two? Okay, Lizzie, just stand up, and Rachel, just stand up. So even when you get this big, you still have to love your little sister. And Rachel, congratulations on your netball. We'll hear more about that over coffee. You can ask Rachel about her. She's so tall that she represented GB in netball last year. Hope 2020 will get even better for you. So even when you've got a younger sister or a younger brother, then you can look after them. I could see that William's holding up his hand because you've got a little younger brother, haven't you? And it's sometimes hard to act justly. It's about doing the right thing. Maybe some of us at work, we're someone's line manager. Maybe people look up to us to know what to do. Maybe some of us have got a friend who's struggling at the moment. Well, are we going to do the right thing? There was a man called Gregor MacGregor, good name, about 150 years ago. And he went to Honduras and he bought some land over there and he came back and he sold the land to people and he said, it's an amazing place where you can set up a home and there's an opera house there. It was all lies. It wasn't true at all. It was just jungle and not very easy jungle at that. 250 people bought some land there and 180 of them died on the way. And the others, when they arrived, they realized that it was a massive scam. Now, obviously, we're to act justly. I'm not suggesting any of us will do anything that bad. But sometimes we're tempted just to cut a few little corners, maybe with our younger brothers and sisters, maybe with our tax returns, maybe with how we deal with people at work. Do we treat them with respect or generosity? Well, God wants us, because of our relationship with him, to act justly, to do the right thing. Maybe some of you got decisions to make in 2020. Well, these three things are a good way of checking what's the right thing to do. The next thing is to love mercy. Now, Mercy, give us a wave. We have, stand up, Mercy. We have a visual aid because our friend Mercy, this is her name. And we all love you, Mercy. So that's an, sorry? Okay. Mercy's boyfriend has it on a mug. That's brilliant. Love Mercy. Well, we're going to love Mercy. We do love you, Mercy. But this is about loving Mercy, about doing the loving thing, doing the kind thing. And this word mercy in the Old Testament, hesed, it means a kind of loyalty, a kind of reliability, so that you keep loving your spouse. Those of you who are married in 2020, some of you are getting married in 2020, very exciting. Well, make sure that you're faithful to your spouse. Make sure that you're spending time together, that you're cherishing each other, that they know that they are the most important person in your life, not your work or your hobbies. Parents, are you going to love mercy? Are you going to love to care for your children so that you're the ones that play with them and hang out with them and have fun with them rather than handing that over to a screen as if the screen should be the parent or the babysitter? We're all to love mercy. Those of us who are living with housemates, are we going to love mercy? Even when our housemates don't do the washing up, we're going to be kind and generous to them. And what's the root of all this? Well, it's our upward love, walking humbly with our God. Walk. Some of us went on a walk around Hinchingbrook the other day. We actually spotted a seal as we walked around the park. Can you believe it? Here in Huntingdon, a real live seal. Got a bit distracted. But a walk, you kind of keep going in the right direction and keep walking and walk humbly because we're always remembering that God is the one that we're living for. When we think of how we would live before, how our lives would be without him, that always keeps us humble. Reading our Bible, because reading our Bible is the way in which we cultivate our relationship with God, speaking to him in prayer, and that enables us to know how to love our neighbor as well. Well, as I said, all of this part of Micah is actually a bit of a telling off. And as we read these words, we might have to say sorry to God for the ways in which we know we haven't done this. We haven't loved our neighbour. We haven't loved God. But actually, it's good news as well, because it points forward to Jesus. He's the one that's paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. We simply need to receive his love as a gift. And once we've done that, to love others in return, to love him and to love other people. So this is no qualification for gaining Jesus. This is a life that is lived saying thank you to Jesus. Because like that woman searching for her coins, he came after us and he came to find us, to pick us up, to rejoice that he's found us. And that's actually what Martin Luther discovered all those years ago, that we don't have to climb up a ladder to God, but he's come down to us. And in the light of what he's done to love us, well, we simply need to love him in return and love our neighbour. Let me finish with one final thing. There's an American preacher called Tim Keller, and he's put it like this. He says, religion is, I obey, therefore I'm accepted by God. If I do enough stuff, if I climb up that ladder, I'm accepted. He says Christianity is, I'm accepted, therefore I obey. So 2020, as we go out into this new year, let's love others. Let's love God, walking humbly with him, and let's love our neighbours, acting justly, loving mercy, walking humbly with our God. On the way out, you'll be given a little extra, a dig deeper sheet. If you just like colouring, well, just colour in the back and stick it on your fridge. If you like talking, then why don't you talk with your family about Becky, Phil, Mary, Bob and Mabel and how they can put this into practice. Let's have a prayer. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Christianity is not some extreme sport where we have to sacrifice ourselves in order to gain your love. But thank you that because Jesus has sacrificed himself for us, we do now want to sacrifice our lives for him. Please help us, Lord, not to get these things muddled up. Help us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you in this new year. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.